Everybody had a good Christmas. I know we did. It's always good when you're able to be with your family. Amen. We're thankful. The only one missing was Anthony, and of course, him being in military, the Navy, he's going to have to be where they tell him where he's going to be. So, anyways, maybe next Christmas. But if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 for our thoughts this morning. And Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 10, the Word of God declares, "For the land whither thou goest and to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." Let's pray. Father, again, we come thanking you for another opportunity, time to come to sanctuary, the living God, and to worship you, Lord, today. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone that has come out, each home represented. And Father, thank you for their faithfulness and being here this morning. And Lord, we pray for the ones that wanted to be here but couldn't be with us due to illness, maybe travel. We just are so blessed that we live in a country where we can assemble and worship you, Lord, as you lead us to. Father, you've heard the prayer request spoken. I just pray that your will be done with each request that's been made known and the unspoken request. Now as I break the bread of life, give me the words to say. Bring to my memory those things I've studied. Let me present the gospel and share it with your people. May they be encouraged in your word this morning. And Lord, if there's one amongst us that doesn't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, our prayer this morning is they'll receive Christ before it's too late. I love you and I praise you. I thank you for this privilege and honor of standing before your congregation. For it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. All right, you would take your seats. God instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel that they were going to a new land. You see, it was the promised land. Now we know, according to Scripture, that the children of Israel had to wander a little while, didn't they? Why? Well, disobedience and unbelief. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But now it's time to go in and possess the land. And Moses is instructing them that this land ain't nothing like where you're coming from. Egypt, you see, Egypt wasn't a country full of hills and valleys. It was a flat land. So, of course, they had to irrigate in order to have, from the Nile River, in order to have crops and whatnot. It took a lot of time, effort, and hard work. But God is telling Moses to instruct the Israelites, listen, the land I've taken you to is one where you don't have to do any of that. As long as you put me first, as long as you serve me, I will take care of it for you. I'll give you everything that you need. And beloved, as I was thinking about what am I going to preach on for Sunday, God laid it on my heart that, you know, this new year that's coming and it's just right around the corner, it's like a new land for us because, after all, the new year is unknown to us. We have not been in 2021 before, so we don't know what is going to come to pass. We don't know what we're going to face in the upcoming year. But I can tell you this, I can assure you this and encourage you that as long as we put God first, we live for God like we're supposed to, He's going to see us through the new year. Amen? So, with that said, notice what He says. For the land, whither thou goest to possess it, is not the land of Egypt. And by the way, Egypt in the Word of God represents the world. There is a difference in living for God and living for the world. Amen? You see, the world tries to meet its own needs. They leave God out of the equation. And most of the time they fail pretty good. But when we have God and we trust Him, you know what? He's going to give us all we need. All we need. So, anyways, from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed, waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But look at verse 11. But the land, whither you go to possess, the land where you're going, is a land of hills and valleys. And beloved, 2021 is a new year for us. And as we said, it's unknown. We don't know what we're going to face. But I can assure you, according to God's Word, there will be hills and there will be valleys. I'm just going to tell you, this coming year, we don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what mountaintop experiences we're going to have. And by the way, if you're a child of God, you're going to have more of them than the valley experiences. But I assure you, as a child of God, though, you're still going to have valley experiences. There's going to come a time in the coming year where you might get ill. You might lose your job. Something might come up. We thought 2020 was a bad year, wearing masks and COVID and all. We don't know what we might face in 2020. It could even be worse. But I can assure you this. Even though there's hills and valleys, there is a God on His throne that promises as long as we look to Him and serve Him, He'll see us through. He will take care of everything. He will bring you out of the valley. It's kind of hard to appreciate the anchor when we don't go through some storms. Amen? You know what those valleys do for me? And I'm sure they do the same thing for you. They cause you to appreciate one, God, but also those mountaintop experiences, though they may be few or they may be many, it makes you always appreciate those mountaintops. And also the valleys make me hit my knees more because it's for my good. Now notice, but the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. In Egypt, again, what did they have to do? They had to irrigate, they had to work to have water. But here, God is promising that heaven's going to handle the watering. All they must do is be obedient and serve Him. And beloved, if you want to have a fruitful 2021, serve God. Put Him first. Be obedient. And I assure you, 2020 2021 will be better than 2020. Amen? Now, notice, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The promised land. You see, God cares for it. Not a politician, but God himself cares for the land. Well, there is a place being prepared for God's people, and that place is called heaven, and God's going to care for everything there. Everything that he's preparing for us is just the way he wants it. Oh, my Lord, don't you long for it? Aren't you tired of this? I know I am. I can't help but say, Lord, come on. Let's put an end to this nonsense. I'm ready to go home. Notice, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. You see, a new year is unknown to us. We do not know what the new year holds for us, but God most certainly does. God has a plan and a purpose. And his plan is to direct our steps. What does the Word tell us? Anybody? He says the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. You see, he has a plan. And he gives us what we need to fulfill that plan. Are you going to fulfill it this coming year? Notice, Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. You see, we don't have to worry. God is in control. He's on his throne. And he's going to see us not just until the trouble hits the fan, but he's going to see us all the way through the year. That's why, even though the year's unknown, don't know what challenge I'll face, I do know this, God's in control of it. And he'll see me through that year. Amen? He'll give me grace. Now, here is a stipulation. He says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. Now, there is a stipulation. If we'll obey his commands this upcoming year and do all that he leads us to do without any bickering, arguing, fussing, and fighting with him. Oh, Lord, ask somebody else. I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that, Lord. Get somebody else. No, if we'll keep his commandments, put him first and love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, he promises us that, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. That's the key. We all tend to want to help God. God don't need your help. He don't need my help. God is in control of everything. Listen. It's a new year. There's going to be hills. There's going to be valleys. In those valleys, may not be comfortable, may not like it, but as long as we keep his commandments, understand this morning, he's going to take care of you. He's going to meet every need. I didn't say want, I said need. He'll meet your needs to get you through. But look at what he says here. Here's another stipulation. I'll give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I'll send grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Okay? So, first stipulation is, put me first, keep my commandments, have faith in me, do as I say, I'm going to take care of you. So this new year, if you have to make a resolution, I'm done with that. I used to make them every year, and I never once kept a resolution I made. And the first one was always, I'm going to lose weight. Second one was, I'm not going to spend as much time in front of the TV. Third one, I bet we're all guilty of this one. Lord, I'm going to spend more time with you. Seemed like just the opposite. No, no, no. Do away with the resolutions. But resolve in your heart that, you know what, God? I'm going to give you more space in my heart and I'm going to do my best to please you. May not do it every day, but I'm going to at least strive to. But don't make a vow that you know you're not going to be able to keep. Stipulation. Put God first. Keep His commandments. But then He gives you another stipulation. This one is no joke. Notice what He says. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Okay, you have a choice. This new year, we can put God first, keep His commandments, draw closer to Him, serve Him by faith, or we can choose to turn away and not be obedient. But listen to me, it's your choice. If you decide not to put God first, you're going to suffer the consequences. As God says, He's going to turn away from you. And He's not going to bless you. Now, it's a choice, isn't it? What kind of new year do you want to have this year? I definitely won't want one better than this one. This one has been something else. Our kids can't go to school. A lot of people laid off, aren't working. Lots of people have gotten ill. Some have went on to eternity. Some were prepared, but I venture to say others weren't. It has been truly one of those years that I just soon forget. But I don't know what I will face in 2021, but He does. And if I keep my eyes focused on Him, it'll be okay. Amen? And it's got to be better than this last one. Why do you say that, preacher? How do you know? Because that means we're one step closer to His return. That's how I know. It's got to be better. It's got to be better. Jeremiah 29. If you would turn over there. Jeremiah 29. The Lord instructed Moses what to tell the children of Israel about the new land that they would be coming to. And the new land, I got to sit down a second. Get on my old knee. 29. Jeremiah 29. You see, they had to wander because of unbelief and disobedience. And God made sure that that generation was gone before they entered in. And God wanted them to understand that, listen, if you'll follow me and obey me, when you possess this land, I'm going to give you everything you'll ever want and desire. Plus, I am going to take care of all of your enemies. And you can have this land free and clear. I have prepared it for you. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Amen. But this is what Jeremiah says in 29 verse 11, this is God's thoughts in his heart. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." See, God loves us. And his thoughts toward us is just that, by providing for us every day. Remember when Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 6, speaking about, don't worry about your food or your raiment. You know, he was ensuring the people, God has it. He's in control. And he promises to take care of us. But the stipulation is, we got to know him, one, and we got to be obedient to him. You know why the majority of his children misses blessings? It's because we're not obedient and we don't keep his commandments. That's why. Children of God are in such a state nowadays. No joy, no peace, because they don't have their eyes on the Lord. And their priorities are wrong. We must seek God first and His kingdom with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our body. When we do that, believe me, there is joy. There is peace, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, the one thing I will say, Wednesday we did Sister Peggy's son's funeral here at the church. There, I don't know how many, 25 maybe, the most. But it was his family, some of his friends. And Sister Peggy, bless her heart, you know, with her health, we need to lift her up. It's not good, y'all. But they brought her in. She didn't stay for the service, but they brought her in to say her final goodbyes. And I was in my study, and Lori came down and got me and said, "Sister Peggy wants you." So I came up. She was there in her wheelchair, patting the hand of Bernard. And she goes, "Pastor," she goes, "it's hard." She goes, "Parents ain't supposed to outlive their children." "Yeah, sister, normally you're right." I go, "I've never experienced that." I go, "You're going through it now." But she goes, "Wait a minute, Pastor, listen. You know what my comfort is?" I knew what she was going to say. She goes, "My comfort is all of my kids know the Savior." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I go, "You know what that rascal son of yours has done? He's beat us to heaven. I'm jealous." She laughed. I go, "He beat us to heaven." And she said, "Yep, that's where he's at." She goes, "We'll be there soon." I said, "Yes, ma'am." But you see, when you love the Lord with all your heart and your mind, when we face those times of sorrow, the Lord is right there saying, "It's okay. It won't be long. It won't be long." And I'm so thankful for her testimony. Spoke volumes. She said her bye, and she left, and she never looked back. You know why? That's where he's at. God has given her that assurance. And He wants us to have the same assurance. My question, do you? Are you dreading the new year? Be honest, I'm not. It can't be worse, can it? It could be. But I pray it's not. It could be. But can I tell you something? Say it was even worse. God's grace is sufficient to see us through. You see, we just need to be about the Lord's business. You say, well, I'm not much. Neither am I. And by the way, please keep that attitude. Stay humble. Because God will be ready to use you then. You get too big for your britches, you're just going to be sitting there. Amen? That's how God works. I heard a story, or read a story, that I think it was in my sister Peggy Pound got me a devotional book. Oh, it's been several years ago. But there's a story in this devotional about a football player. And this football player was the smallest guy on the team. Never played in one game. Always sat on the bench. And the reason the coach wouldn't let him play was he was afraid he'd get him killed. He was that small. But the kid loved football. Every Friday night, his father would be in the stands. Even though his son never played one down, was always on the bench, his dad was in the stands. Well, they went through the season, and they made it to the playoffs. And, of course, the coach, there was no way he was ever going to put in that little guy. And the kid goes, "Coach, just let me play. I'm always here. I'm the first one out of the locker room. I'm the last one to dress and leave. I'm always watching film. I do everything you tell me to do. Just let me play." And he says, "Son, I can't do it. And besides, we're in a playoff game. We can't afford to take any chances and lose this game." So as they got ready for the playoff game, coach received a phone call. He went to his office and came out, walked over to the little guy, and he says, "I don't even know how to tell you, but I just got a phone call. Your father's passed away." And of course, the little boy goes, "Well, coach, I guess I'm not going to be playing tonight anyways. I guess I won't be back." He said, "No, you take as long as you need, son. That's okay. Go take care." Because it was just him and his father. And they had a real close relationship. And the game began. Of course, they got behind by 10 points. It's the third quarter. And all of a sudden, here comes this little boy, little guy, back in his uniform, back on the bench, and he comes up to the coach and says, "Coach, you've got to let me play." The coach says, "We're trailing. No. Go sit down." "Coach, I just have to play today. I just have to play." He says, "Go sit down." Well, he kept asking and asking. Finally, he just says, "Well, to shut you up, I guess I'm going to have to. We probably lost the game anyway, so okay, go on in." Well, the little guy played safety. And to the surprise of the team and everybody in the stands, that kid was tackling everything that come through. I mean, recovered a fumble, intercepted a ball, and ran it all the way back, and they won by 1 point. And, of course, after the game, the team lifted him up on their shoulders and carried him out, and everybody was happy and whatnot. And anyways, that's... everybody left the stands, and the team took their showers and dressed and left. That young man sat right back there in front of his locker by the corner. And the coach walked over to it, and he says, "Kid, what come over you?" He goes, "I've never seen nothing like..." He goes, "They couldn't stop you." He says, "Today, you were the best player I've ever coached." The kid says, "Well, you know my dad died, right?" And he goes, "Yes, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I know you and your dad were close." And he goes, "I know where he always sat in the stand." He goes, well, yeah. Did you know my dad was blind too? He said, what? He said, did you know my dad was blind? He goes, you see, the reason I asked you to let me play was because for the first time, my father was able to see. And I wanted him to see me at my best. Beloved, I'll ask you this morning. Isn't it time that we give the Lord our best? You see, we can't change today or yesterday. But we can move forward tomorrow. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind us, but pressing on toward the mark and the high prize of the calling of Jesus Christ. I can't do nothing about the past failures. And yes, there's nobody here that hasn't failed the Lord this past year in some capacity. All of us. But listen to me. A new year means a new opportunity. Let's show our Father we know how to play. Amen? Now, I'll close with this. The Bible says this, and if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, listen up. This is for you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that word wages means you and I have a debt to pay to God. Now we have a choice. We can pay that debt, and by the way, it's going to be very costly because you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God and your loved ones that know Christ. Or, and this is the good deal, you can allow Jesus to do it for you. Because when He came into the world and went to the cross and died on the cross, He paid the debt of sin for all the world. And if you'll receive Him into your heart as Savior and allow Him and what He did on the cross to pay your debt, He'll never be brought up again. He'll save you, and you'll spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. Now, what's the better deal? Jesus is the better deal. I'm thankful I don't have to pay that old debt. And you should be too, child of God. And especially if you're lost, He offers you a chance. Pay that debt off in full. All you got to do is say yes. If you're not saved this morning, as we start a new year in a few days, there's not a greater way to start the new year than knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. The greatest thing to ever happen to me and everyone else here that's trusted Christ as their Savior. Greatest thing. No regrets. I've yet to run across anyone in this life that took me by the hand and said, preacher, I regret coming to Jesus. I've never met one like that. I don't think I ever will. If I do, I believe they wouldn't save to begin with. Because if a person's truly saved, never been a day like it. But why not start the year off? Child of God. Yeah. It's been a terrible year. And yes, we've had some failures in our walk with the Lord this past year. But guess what? We begin a new year. We get a second chance. We get another opportunity. Let's make the best of it. Let's show our Father we know how to play. Amen. Would you stand with me?